Playwright and author David Sedaris has hopped on board to help ease our foray into nude recreation. Throughout today's journey, David will read from his essay, Naked, which is published in his anthology of essays by the same name. So let's just jump right in and listen to those terrifying few moments when David first drummed up the courage to dive into a clothing-optional vacation.
This afternoon, after a half dozen false starts, I phoned the nudist colony to make a reservation, speaking to the same fellow who'd mailed me the brochure. This time I could hear people in the background splashing and yelling with glee. The sound of them made me giddy, and I unbuttoned my shirt. The brochure had mentioned rental cabins, and I was wondering what it might cost to stay for a week. "You want a trailer for how long?" he asked. I rebuttoned my shirt. I had imagined tree-shaded bungalows paneled in knotty pine. That, to me, is the essence of the word colony. This place was, instead, a nudist trailer park. We don't use the word colony anymore because it's too spooky. No, what we have are trailers. The smaller units run $30 a night, but if you want your own kitchen and bathroom, your only option is a double-wide, which will run you an extra $70 a week. He lost me way back. How is the word colony spooky, but not trailer or even nudist for that matter? I can let you have the front bedroom of the double-wide. That's not booked yet. Front bedroom suggested the evidence of a back bedroom, which, I was told, would be rented out separately. You could have one roommate, or maybe it'll be a couple. They might stay for a night or two, or perhaps they'll spend a whole week. Don't worry, though. You won't get lonely. I was still wrestling with the idea of a trailer, and when he introduced the possibility of a roommate, my vision blurred. A roommate at a nudist trailer park. The combination of these elements presented a staggering tableau, made all the more incomprehensible when I heard the man shoulder the phone and raise his voice to shout, "Mom? Hey, Mom, where's the weekly price list for the two-bedroom rental trailer?" This person was not only standing around naked in broad daylight, he was doing it with his mother. I heard a screen door slam, followed by a weary voice of a woman shouting, "Hold your hollering, hot shot. Looking for the weekly price sheet? You're probably sitting on it just like the last time. See, I told you so. Whew, somebody needs to take a shower." I made my reservation and planned to arrive in 1 week. Because of the pleasant weather, the tarp has been taken from the swimming pool, which is surrounded by comfortable reclining chairs, several of them positioned beneath a sign reading, "Handicapped Parking." It is a posted rule that you must be naked, not only in the pool, but also in the area surrounding it. This struck me as harsh. All I had on were sneakers and a t-shirt, but these things meant the world to me, since without them, I would be a freak. "The doctor will be right with you," I told myself. "Just lay your towel here on the recliner, remove your shoes and shirt, and he'll be here with the sedative as soon as he's finished with the other patients." I stripped off my t-shirt, and there I was, naked, easy prey for low-flying surveillance planes, naked in broad daylight, surrounded by strangers who rolled from their backs to their stomachs, leafing through the pages of their books and magazines. The upswing was that I didn't have to look at myself. There were no mirrors or plate glass windows, and as long as I looked straight ahead, I thought I'd be able to ease slowly into my public nudity. I'd just gotten used to this idea when I was approached by a man named Dusty, who had clothespinned a sheet of shirt cardboard to the brim of his sun visor in order to extend its shading capacities. The man was doubled over, stooped with osteoporosis, his back and shoulders burnished like fine Italian leather, and his belly white from lack of sun. He wore his thick gray hair shaved close to his scalp and, to my horror, a pair of mirrored sunglasses that reflected with great clarity the sight of my pale, fidgety nakedness. Returning naked from the sauna this evening, I passed a group of senior citizens who had gathered to watch a game show on the clubhouse TV. "Ask for an E," someone shouted at the screen. "I mean a C. Ask for a C." The speaker was a rowdy, white-haired woman with wrinkled, sun-cured skin, the color and texture of a blonde raisin. She wore nothing but a pair of bedroom slippers and a cardigan sweater she draped over her shoulders. I meant a bee, that's it, a bee. It's an odd sensation watching TV this way. Because they are dressed, the people on television seem even more remote than usual. It's as if they inhabit another world, something familiar but also closed off by high fences and aggressive border patrols. I wish this show was naked. The woman absent-mindedly ran her fingers over the tabletop. It would be so much better that way, don't you think? They could take all the money the hosts spend on clothes and make the prizes even bigger. I could play the nude version and make enough money to, I don't know, maybe I'd have someone dredge me a lake and fill it with boats. I like boats. Always did. There's nothing like a boat. She scratched at her arm, leaving white tracks that quickly faded, the skin resuming its natural color. I like the idea of that, filming two separate versions of any given program, one clothed and the other tailored to capture what the network saw as its vast nude audience. Do I have to? Peter Jennings would ask. I'm trying not to aggravate my sunburn, so I spent my early afternoon in a t-shirt, wandering the grounds and noticing the great number of people who rarely visit the clubhouse or recreation area. Here were men and women kneeling in their gardens and operating weed eaters, doing the same things other homeowners do, but without the benefit of clothing. Sitting on the grass beside a concrete mermaid, a father and daughter strummed Muskrat Love on the guitar, while a middle-aged woman hummed along, washing her hair and rinsing off the lather with a garden hose. On the playground, a freckle-faced child stood alone in a plywood tower, lifting a plastic bucket filled with stones. A man lit a charcoal fire in his backyard grill. He had protected his chest with an apron reading, "World's Greatest Chef," and used his spatula to startle a fly off his bottom. Nudist life was just as mundane as any other, perhaps even more so, as its practice demands that you never leave the grounds. The closed world was out there, just beyond the front gate. They had restaurants there and movie theaters, a wide variety of distractions my neighbors had surrendered in exchange for the opportunity to grill chicken breasts in the nude. Obviously, I was missing something. I had washed dishes naked and eaten in the clubhouse, picking potato chip crumbs out of my lap and wondering what all the fuss was about. I have played games naked and watched TV naked, and afterwards I have yawned naked, finding my sigh no different than any previous expression of boredom. I hear people say, "Why go into town for lunch when we can stay here and be naked?" A person might enjoy golf or fishing, but that doesn't stop them from visiting a department store or a Chinese restaurant. I suppose if you're a die-hard nudist, you can't really go anywhere except for the few parks and isolated beaches that will have you.
Thanks to David Sedaris for bearing his soul and everything else by sharing his nude experience with us.